when you're studying science, some any field of science, you are going to come up with a hypothesis, and you're going to do research, and you're going to come up with a conclusion mm-hmm. based on your research that you did based on your hypothesis. Mm-hmm. Well, your hypothesis comes from your mind, mm-hmm. right? You have to think up a hypothesis. And so your worldview, how you see the world, is going to play into your hypothesis, right? Yes. And so depending on how you see the world, whether you believe that it all happened without any intervention, mm-hmm. or whether you believe that God was somehow behind it, mm-hmm. is going to play into your hypothesis and your conclusion. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Love Machine.
Welcome to another Nerding Out with That Nerdy Catholic. I'm here with my ever-esteemed co-nerd, Cesar. And we have been traveling through the history of mathematics. We've looked at the lives of a lot of amazing mathematicians. And we've looked at a little bit of application of math. Mm-hmm. Today is the last episode in this series in math, where I'm sure we will come back to it, especially when we talk about other topics in the future. But this is the end of this series for now. And we're going to be taking a short break. We're going to be off for a few weeks. Cesar and I are both involved at a retreat in our parish. And so that is taking up a lot of our time. Oh, and yeah. So we're going to take a break to focus on that. And we will be back probably just after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
probably. And the next series we're going to be doing, as a little teaser, we're going to be doing our next series on physics.
That's great.
Yeah,
one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at a number of physicists. It's going to be a little bit different than the way we did math, but we're going to be looking at some important physicists throughout history. We're going to be looking at some topics in physics, especially, you know, I've found that there are, I personally found, because it's one of the topics I love as well, there are a number of interesting channels out there on YouTube that talk about what's going on with the latest research in physics. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen myself a number of videos on the current research into black holes.
Yep. And quantum physics and all
quantum physics. Yes. Yeah.
It's really because cosmology from the view of physics is amazing.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing a series on physics, and as I said, I know that math will come in a lot when we talk about physics as well.
Definitely, yes.
So before we jump into today's last topic, I just want to remind you, if you go over to thatnerdycatholic.com, you can sign up for our email list, get an update whenever we put out a new video. You can head over to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch. Did I say that? You can head over to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch to get our latest merch of t-shirts and mugs and other things like that. Mm-hmm. There's the Nerdy Catholic Tees shop mm-hmm. has been down for a while, but is now back up on thatnerdycatholic.com, and you can get some of the more popular designs over there, including the Settlers of Catan t-shirt, the Lamb of God. And I was just telling Cesar before the show, mm-hmm. that the board game Settlers of Catan, the sheep has always been one of the least important resources in the game, and I want to make this shirt to show that it's actually the Lamb of God is the most important, even more important than the bricks and the wood to make your roads.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Cesar has never played Settlers of Catan, so I have to introduce him to that at some point.
Yep. I have to play sometime. Yeah.
And as always, if we would really appreciate it if you subscribe to this channel, like it, share it with your friends, comment on it. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, rate us on your podcast app of choice. So mm-hmm. today is our last talk on math. And what are we going to be talking about, Cesar?
So one of the topics that we are going to, talk about today is math and evolution, mm-hmm. and the theory for evolution.
I'm glad we're not we're not ending on a controversial
topic. No, we are not ending on that, not at all. So when we talk about evolution, we have to frame what it is, mm-hmm. and what it is not, no?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really important, no? Yeah. What are we claiming to say, and what are we not claiming to
right.
say? We have to make that distinction clear, mm-hmm. no?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's there are so many videos out on YouTube talking about evolution, mm-hmm. and pretty much all of them, most that I've seen, come from either one of two perspectives. Mm-hmm. They come from a perspective of someone who is trying to argue for evolution. Mm-hmm. And they are arguing for a Darwinian evolution, and we're going to mm-hmm. go into what that means in a little bit. But mm-hmm. evolution from an atheist viewpoint, mm-hmm. And they're trying to argue, looking at fossil records and all that for evolution. Mm-hmm. The other videos that there are a lot of out there are people that are refuting evolution mm-hmm. from the perspective of from a Christian who comes from a young earth creationist viewpoint, mm-hmm. to say that evolution didn't happen and God created the world in 7 days, like it said in Genesis. Mm-hmm. They come from a worldview with their Christianity that takes everything in the Bible literally. Mm-hmm. Like if it's written in the Bible, we have to take it literally. So it says in Genesis that God created the world in 7 days. That's what I believe. They believe mm-hmm. that the earth is only, somewhere between 6 and 10,000 years old. So yeah. A young earth creationist viewpoint. So those are the two viewpoints that there are a lot of videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And we're not coming from either of those.
No, what are we doing right now is, first of all, we have to set our common ground, no? And that is the question, what is evolution according to Darwin?
Mm-hmm.
So, if we are talking about Darwinian evolution, it makes sense to go to what Darwin says.
Yeah.
No? So, in his book, The Origin of Species, Darwin basically said that evolution is a product of random mutations. From those mutations, the one that better fits the environment are the one that survives.
Yeah.
The one that doesn't fit the environment, well, don't survive.
Yeah.
And that's easy, no? So that is the main premise, no? Random mutations and natural selection.
Yeah.
No? So whenever Darwin explained his theory of evolution, he said that, any animal suffers mutation from one generation to another, no? Some of those mutations are more suitable for life and can adapt better for the environment than others. Ergo, those are the ones that maintains, no?
Yeah.
And what he did, and I don't want to take his clever view on what he saw, no? So what Darwin saw is, for example, when if you are a shepherd and you have dogs there, and you kind of go to a more cold environment and you start selecting your dogs for the ones that better adapt to the cold environment, meaning better hair, no?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little more greasy to support that cold temperatures. No. So you kind of create a new breed of dogs,
mm-hmm.
no? That are more suitable for that. What Darwin asks is it possible that the same thing can be done without human interventions? And with his visit at Galapagos Island, I think that is in Ecuador, he saw so many things in that he haven't seen in his world, no?
Mm-hmm.
Because that island wasn't was barely touched by human hands, so he can see animals that were very adapted to their environment that he couldn't see in any other place. No. And he said, what about... So that is when he came from with the his evolution theory, you know,
mm-hmm.
on the origin of a species. He said that we will probably have a common ancestor, and that start mutating and forking for different different paths. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So because let's say that we have a common ancestor, and the different mutations mean different forks. Some of them survive because they adapt better mm-hmm. for the environment. Mm-hmm. Some are better than others. No? Mm-hmm. So that's random mutation and natural selection.
Okay. No. Why are we talking about this in our last episode of on math?
Yeah. The key here is, the argument here is it actually random?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the key thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have to clarify before we continue with the video, we are not negating that we see changes in animals. Mm-hmm. We are not negating that we see changes from one generation to another.
Mm-hmm.
No, we actually know that, you know, when you have male and female, changes are procreated to be done.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Well, and we also know that looking at, you know, looking at the research that has been done
mm-hmm.
into the fossils, we know that there are animals that used to exist
yeah.
that don't exist anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And we also have seen that the Earth is millions of years old.
The other thing I want to clarify also is that this is about the mechanism. Mm-hmm. What we are going to discuss from the mathematical point of view is about the mechanism of change.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument here is it can be random.
Yeah, yeah.
No?
Yeah. When you look at the world, when you're studying the world, especially when you're studying science, some any field of science, you are going to come up with a hypothesis, and you're going to do research, and you're going to come up with a conclusion
mm-hmm.
based on your research that you did, based on your hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
Many times your hypothesis comes from your mind, mm-hmm. right? You have to think up a hypothesis. And so your worldview, how you see the world, is going to play into your hypothesis, right?
Yes.
And so depending on how you see the world, whether you believe that it all happened without any intervention,
mm-hmm.
or whether you believe that God was somehow behind it,
mm-hmm.
is going to play into your hypothesis and your conclusion.
That's right? Exactly right.
Right. Now, the science itself, the research part, is going to be pretty much the same for everyone,
mm-hmm.
right? But we're talking about looking at how Darwin did his research,
mm-hmm.
looking at that his worldview of that there is no God played into his hypothesis and his conclusion.
That's a very good point that you are making, because believe it or not, two people can see the same evidence and mm-hmm. came to different conclusions
mm-hmm.
because of the world, their worldview.
Yeah.
And that's really important. No? What happened here is that Darwin, at the time of Darwin, they have just a notion for themselves. And it's mid to 1900s or something. Mm-hmm. No,
1800s.
Mid-1800s, no? So, and they were thinking basically that the cell was, you know, kind of a very little jelly thing
mm-hmm.
that can mutate. So that's what, and we cannot blame them.
They didn't have the equipment to see inside the cell.
No? Yeah. So what revolutionized the idea here is that in the 50s, I'm talking last
1850s.
Century. 1950s.
No, 1950s.
1950s.
Okay.
There was the double the ADN, no?
The DNA.
DNA code, no? Yeah. And Watson and Crick, what they found was amazing, really. No? Mm-hmm. They found that, first of all, the DNA code act like a program,
mm-hmm.
no? And yep. there that was the instruction of things that internally the cell has to execute mm-hmm. in order to mm-hmm. reproduce and to do all their yep. vital functions.
Yeah. No?
So that was really important because that also determines, you know, the human genome.
Yeah.
And everything yep. like that. No. Yep. Though all that information, especially Crick, because he was actually a computer hacker at that time, he discovered that those chains in the DNA, A, C, G, am I forgetting one letter? In that double helix chain, mm-hmm. actually like binary code mm-hmm. in a software. Mm-hmm. No? So that has to be considered too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would love to do a series at some point on biology and look at the mechanisms, learn more about the mechanisms within the cell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I was involved in a while ago, there was a period when a lot of people that were into computer science mm-hmm. were into distributed computing.
Mm-hmm.
There were apps, and I know they're still out there. That people just don't talk about them as much anymore.
Yeah,
but you know they would have these apps, these programs you would download onto your computer, mm-hmm. and it would download data from some website, mm-hmm. from some server, process it, and then send it back. So it was these different large problems
mm-hmm.
that people wanted to solve, and they needed a lot of computing power. So, mm-hmm. you know, thousands of people would have this program. They would mm-hmm. download just a little bit of data, process it, send it back up.
Yeah, that's called clustering.
Yeah.
And that's right. Yeah.
So one of the programs that I was running on my computer for a while mm-hmm. was for a group of researchers that were looking into folding proteins.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's so amazing about what happens inside the cell mm-hmm. is you have these proteins. But they have to be, you know, looking at the 3D models of them, it's these very long protein chains. But for them to work the way they are supposed to work, they have to be folded up,
mm-hmm.
curled up, really, in the exact right way.
Yeah.
So thinking about what you were saying before about the view of the cell at the time of Darwin was a simple little mechanism.
Yeah.
But now we know
how
the complexity yeah. inside the cell.
So why he has this worldview? He said, well, the cell changes, the organism changes. So random mutation and natural selections can easily explain all the variety and life here mm-hmm. during a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's the other thing that I want to discuss. With random selection, does it really help the long period of time?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So let's go back to the math, no?
Yeah.
And when I like to start breaking this example is, let's go to a casino.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, of course, we are in a casino right now. But for example, if you are in a table and you throw the dice, no? And let's say you got, let's make it simple. You have to have 8 to win something.
Mm-hmm.
No. What are the chances that throwing the dice, you know, at once, mm-hmm. you have 8?
Yeah.
No. So the dice have 1 to 6 in one dice and 1 to 6 to the other dice.
Yeah.
No. So we have 36 combinations. Mm-hmm. There, no. And you are aiming to 8. How do you form 8? You either form 2. Plus 6,
mm-hmm. 3 and 5, 4 and 4,
4 and 4,
mm-hmm.
then you go down again because you have mm-hmm. 2 dice, no?
Yeah.
3 to 2, 3 to 6,
3 to 5,
and 2 to 6.
Yeah.
No? So you have 5 possibilities from the 35.
Yeah.
So your chances are 5 over 6. That means basically 13%. Or let's make it 14%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
14% has chances that you
you'll get an 8. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And you will win your money back.
Yeah. But one of the interesting things in so to go back to the Selic Catan in the shirt. Because you're playing with 2 dice.
Yes.
There are a bunch of tiles.
Mm-hmm.
Each tile is associated with a number mm-hmm. on the dice.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really interesting is they actually have a number of dots on each tile to say the probability that that number is going to be rolled. So mm-hmm. if you have the tile on a resource that has a six or an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, except for 7. 7 is the most likely to be rolled.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have 6 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have 9 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on a tile with a resource that has either a 2 or a 12,
mm-hmm.
it's very unlikely because yeah. there's only one
yes.
combination to yes. get a 2 or a 12.
Uh-huh.
So you have a different probability for each combination.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a 5 over 36 to get an 8. So yes. if you roll one time, you
got 13% of chances.
13-14% chance of winning.
Yes.
So what if you play for longer than that? Do you have does your probability of winning go up?
That's
the
thing.
You have the more chance. You more chances to win.
Yeah.
Right?
So for example, in the casino example, if you want to win once, you know, you have throw the dice and mm-hmm. it's 8. You have almost 14% to win that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's say you roll twice.
Twice.
You have to. What's the chance of getting an 8 if you roll twice?
Oh. So that is 5 over 36 times 5 over 36.
Mm-hmm.
Over 36. No.
Mm-hmm.
So your probability is still reducing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. So that's around 5%.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to 3 times,
mm-hmm.
that's more unlikely to be 1.something%.
Yeah.
1.8%, I think, is the calculation. So the idea is the longer you want to win, the less chances
mm-hmm.
you are going to win.
Yeah.
And
well, and you look at the business model, the mm-hmm. casino.
Yes.
If people's chances to win went up the longer they played,
mm-hmm.
well, then random chance,
uh-huh.
then that would be bad for the casinos.
Yes.
Because, you know, they put, you know, millions of dollars into these casinos. And if people are winning,
mm-hmm.
then they can lose all their money. And we know because, you know, looking at the problem of gambling that we have in this country, that's not the case.
And the owner of the casino is so sure that the math is going to be on his favor that he's willing to risk that
yeah.
and put all the infrastructure. Yeah. And what is the odd, you know, and that's also the way they cut a cheater, because it's not possible that that person yeah. can win so many times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's something is wrong.
Yeah. And the person that knows enough about gambling
uh-huh.
to go in and keep winning.
Yes.
They're the ones that get kicked out and banned.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is demonstrating the only math that
yeah.
random chances are unlikely to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What's more, the more time you play,
mm-hmm.
the less likely are you to win.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that is in a simple example of the casino. And that's also in nature.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances that a random mutation,
mm-hmm.
give you a life stage in a more probability to adapt to life
mm-hmm.
if you randomly mutate,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Oh, let's the next generation, they are going to be, the cell is going to bury this, or we are going to have the mouth here, or we are going to have smaller eyes,
mm-hmm.
something like that, something mm-hmm. like random like that.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's even more complex, because if we are talking about the cell level,
mm-hmm.
and that's when the math came, what are the chances that you're a good writer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
What are the chances that somebody randomly rearranging your binary that your program is going to execute?
Yeah, very, very, very little.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
you know?
I mean, what's the likelihood that it's going to do something good or do something bad? Both of those are very unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
What's the likelihood that the computer is going to say, this makes absolutely no sense, I can't run this?
Exactly. And that is the chances of life here.
Yeah.
Because we have seen that in at a cell level, it acts like a manufacturing machine, mm-hmm. that read the codes and execute that.
Yeah.
Very random, that code. And yeah. Let's see if that's an executable, yeah. even to yeah. a machine. No.
Well, and I would say that's even looking at randomness within the DNA.
Yes.
What about the mechanism that reads it?
Exactly.
You know, the example that's given a lot, and I know I've heard a lot of people argue against this as oversimplistic, but on some level, I there's some truth in it. What's the likelihood that you throw a bunch of parts,
mm-hmm.
you know, out into a field and a jet engine appears? You know.
Or what is the likelihood that you start writing zeros and one in a memory and, mm-hmm. whoa, you have a word processor?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that is really unlike. And whenever you see something like that running, you immediately think, oh, somebody must have designed this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way that this just randomly happened.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Something so complex than life, oh yeah, that's random mutations.
Yeah.
And I have an example here that I would like to run for you.
Okay.
Just grab my computer here. So let's say we have a program, no?
Mm-hmm.
We are going to run this program. What this program is intent to do, first we're going to run the program like somebody has really coded into that. Mm-hmm. No?
So someone wrote this program to make a triangle,
yep.
and then to make a square and a pentagon.
Exactly. Okay. I'm running the first example here, no? And for sure we can share the code for everybody. We can put it in our comments.
We'll put it in the description. We'll put a link to the code.
Here what this program does, of course, we have the constant pi defined here, the distance of the arrow of the polygon. We define the array. And then we are showing the triangle here, each X and Y point to draw the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are going to generate any other figure that has equal number of sides. Okay. No? So
it's going to ask you the number of sides. It's going to draw a shape with equal sides and angles.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right. Let's run it right now. So as I said, this is in Python. So if you have a Python program, just download it. Of course, the small polygon is a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then this program is going to ask, okay, you know, what is the next polygon that I want a polygon that have, let's say, four sides. Oh, what are the chances that it's just a square?
Mm-hmm.
No? We can do that with how many sides we want. We can do it for four sides. We can do it with, I don't know,
12
sizes.
Okay.
And it's going to draw a polygon like, mm-hmm. that. But the reason it's going to draw this polygon is because there's
logic.
Code. There's logic, yeah. behind it. Yeah. No? What about if there is no logic and we have randomness? Mm-hmm. What are the likelihood that for generating this?
Yeah, so let's look at that code.
Yeah, let's show that code. So in this case, what we have here is this program that you can see here is random generating,
mm-hmm.
the next point,
mm-hmm.
randomly.
Okay. So
what are the chances that we get the figure that we want?
Mm-hmm.
No. So let's say like that. Okay, we have the triangle. That's the first one. That's the one that is coded. But what do you want a figure
let's
of?
Let's see. Let's do 12 again.
Let's do 12 again. We can repeat this a lot of times.
Yeah.
And we are not going to get the same figure, yeah. like the first one, no? So here's our triangle again. This is our next figure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting modern art.
Yeah, it's art. Yeah. That's maybe, for sure.
Maybe.
But it's not, you know, polygon that we want, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's making our statement here.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting to think then that what is the argument I think we've been talking around it. What is the argument that a lot of people say about evolution? Well, if given enough time,
mm-hmm.
anything can happen.
Yeah.
But what are the likelihoods of anything happening? And even thinking about then evolution, it's not as much a question of given enough time, anything can happen, because that's true.
Yes.
But given enough time, how many things had to have happened for us?
That is a question, actually. Given enough time, how do you ensure that the right process, because evolution assumes that from a less complex organism to a more complex organism,
mm-hmm.
given it more time, mm-hmm. it will just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that we have to win the first time, win mm-hmm. the second time, win the third time, yeah. win the fourth time.
Yeah. How many wins yeah. do we have to have in a row to get to us? Yeah.
In contrast with something that was designed for yeah. doing that.
Yeah.
No?
Well, we played the clip a few episodes ago from Contact.
Mm, yeah.
Which is, you know,
I like that movie, by the way. Yeah.
It's a great movie. and you have this character, you know, the scientist that Jodie Foster plays. And she is so sure in her worldview of science. And the dichotomy that's created in that movie is you have this atheist scientist mm-hmm. versus this, you know, this Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he would even say he was a Christian. He's someone that believes in God.
Yes, yes, exactly. It was someone that believed in God.
And she's so sure in her atheism that there can be no God
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that it creates this conflict. And so the scene that we showed, well, we can show it again, Matthew McConaughey's character looks at her and says, you're trying to challenge her worldview. He says, did your dad love you?
Oh.
Or did you love your dad? I can't remember. It was one of those. And she said, well, of course. And he says, well, okay, we'll prove it. So it's this, you know, for me, looking at these two worldviews, you know, what he says, he doesn't say that he can prove that God exists,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's one of the errors that people fall into.
Yes.
Say, let me prove to you that God exists.
Yeah.
Well, that's like saying, a cartoon character, let me prove to you that there's an animator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can't, because they are within the animation.
Yes.
And the animator is outside the animation.
That's right.
We are within creation and God is outside of creation. So we are not saying that we can prove that God exists. But you look at the statistics, mm-hmm. it points to the fact that there's something behind this. There's something behind the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's some intelligence. You know, and if you want to say God, if you want to say some alien out there, we're not making an argument about exactly what is behind it,
mm-hmm.
but there's some intelligence behind it.
Exactly, and that intelligence has put the code
mm-hmm.
to make this happen.
Yeah,
there's no way, mathematically speaking, and I think this is our final argument, that this can be done randomly.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's more, the other thing is that to get a life from less complex to more complex, there's no way that you win so much time each time the bed
mm-hmm.
that you randomly came to a more complex
mm-hmm.
being. Mm-hmm. There's no way that randomly happened.
Yeah.
And the idea of having the casino example and this little example here is that time is not your in your favor when you talk about evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Time is actually your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The more things that you want to align to a clear goal, but pointing it randomly, it just makes it difficult because it implies that the previous step has to be done successfully, and that the previous step has to be done successfully.
Yeah,
it's like winning the casino game each time you bet. Mm-hmm. What are the chances of doing that?
In the end, one of my main points for wanting to do this episode is not that the science is bad.
No. Science is good, actually.
And looking at everything that's happened in the areas of evolutionary biology since Darwin, we've learned so much. But there are so many voices out there that are saying, well, I follow the science, and that therefore that means that there can't be a God.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting assumption. If you believe in science and you can't believe in God.
Yeah.
And those two points are completely separate from each other.
Yes.
What, you know, I mean that's why we're nerdy Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
We love the science, and we believe that God is behind the science.
Exactly.
To think of that God was so creative that he created a universe that is so orderly and makes sense. You know, going back to, you know, the some of the mathematicians we talked about, and we'll go back to this point over and over again. I know. Looking at, you know, physicists or other scientists, that the history of science is a history of people that wanted to understand the world because they wanted to understand the world that God created. You know, we talked about the first episode when we were talking about the ancient world. We were talking about the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the math that they were working on with. The worldview that most ancient civilizations had was a pagan worldview of different gods were in charge of different parts of creation.
Yeah.
So you had, you know, in the Egyptian world, you had Ra was the sun god, was the god above all others because it was in charge of light in the day. You had a god that was in charge of the rain. You had a god that was in charge of everything that people saw. There was a god in charge of that. And what was happening in their mind in the world of the gods was it was just the whims of the gods. Things happen because of the whims of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jewish nation comes and says, there's one God. And this one God created a world, created a universe that makes sense. And it is through that Judeo-Christian worldview that we have scientists that said the universe makes sense. There is an order to it. Therefore, we can understand it. Therefore, we need to study it.
Yes, completely agree.
And so the what has become this worldview of we have science, therefore there's no God, is built upon a foundation of so many scientists that have said, we are studying the world because we believe God created it and he created it to make sense. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we want to study it.
Yes.
So that really is, you know, a good wrapping up point for our series on math.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's almost a little teaser about where we're going to go from here.
That's true.
You know, I think that a lot of the different areas we're going to look at in the future are going to come back to this point of, you know, the fact that we are studying science because we know that there is a God that created the world and he created it to make sense.
What we are saying here is just, we are free to explore that world.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we are pursuing the truth, we are going to find reminiscences of that intelligence
mm-hmm.
behind that creation.
Yeah.
Because it's an order.
Yeah, yeah. Know? Yeah, and if you love science, our main thing that we want you to think about is it just have your mind open to this possibility that there is an intelligence behind the world. And that, and in the case of our experience, that this intelligence has revealed himself to us and desires to be known.
And desires you to know him.
Yeah.
And loves you a lot.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Cesar, thank you again for an amazing conversation. And thank you for joining us. Just a reminder, if you head over to thatnerdycatholic.com, you can sign up for our email list and get updates when we put out new episodes. You can head over to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch to get some cool merch.
Mm-hmm.
And reminder that the Nerdy Catholic Tees merch is up on the site as well. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe to the channel, and share it with your friends. And we will be sad and miss you while we're on our break, but we will see you again in a little while.
Yes.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
System shut down.